Hello there, and welcome to our podcast, Conversations in Noosa. My name is John Caruso. If you were discussing great early explorers, you'd probably use words like fearless, courageous, and determination. They're all words you can use to describe my next guest, Heather Mills. Heather is a septuagenarian with an adventurous spirit who has recently returned from backpacking in Jordan. You heard right, backpacking in Jordan. In this podcast, we talk about the international travellers that she's met during her hostel stays. We talk about accidentally deleting all of her photos at the top of a mountain that she'd just conquered in India. We talk about an archaeological dig that she was part of when she was 22, and we discuss her ancestral connections to some early Queensland pioneers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. I started the pod by asking whether Heather had always had a great passion for travel.
No, I inherited from my grandmother, who came over to Australia from New Zealand in 1894. She was obviously a young woman. That was quite an adventure in those times, to come to a completely new land and stay here. My father, mother, when they retired, they travelled. I was born here in Queensland, and I left Queensland in 1963 on a working holiday to England. It was with four other girlfriends, because that was the thing to do in the 60s.
I would say for a young girl back in the early 60s, it wasn't really the thing to do.
Oh, it wasn't the thing to do, but in my case, my father, he was 42 when I was born, so he's much older. So I could only go if I promised that I would only stay 2 years.
Yeah.
I have to have a job before I left Australia.
And did you?
Yes, yeah. Because Brook Street Bureau came to Australia and recruited secretaries. I had to have enough money saved for return airfare.
Yeah.
And under no circumstances whatsoever was I to get married overseas. I got engaged in London, so I'd come back to Australia to get to Brisbane to get married. Then I went back to live in Cambridge.
Yeah. So how many rules of those did you break? Just the one? Well, you really didn't break any rules. But,
no.
But you got engaged, you came back and got married in Australia. Yeah.
It was quite expensive.
You mentioned that your parents did a fair bit of travelling when they retired. But you didn't necessarily go with them?
Oh, no, because I was in England, because I left in 63.
Yeah.
In the 60s, it was quite the thing for girls to have to make their debut. So at the age of 18, my sister made her debut. But when it came to my turn to make my debut, I said, what a lot of waste of money. So Mum and Dad were going on a cruise around the Pacific.
Yeah.
So I said, I'll go on a cruise. They said, do you want to come on a cruise if you're not making your debut? I said, of course.
So Heather, it sounds like you've always had this great passion and this love of seeing, of broadening your horizons.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Can you remember when that was first ignited? Like, did you read a lot about overseas and cultures and countries?
No.
What was it that sparked your imagination?
No, it was just, I suppose it was more the adventure. I was brought up on a cattle station. I eventually moved into town to go to school.
Before we started this podcast, I asked if you wanted to put your phone on silent, and you said, I don't really use it. There's a Jordanian SIM card in my phone, which indicates to me that you recently returned from overseas, Heather.
Yes, I went backpacking around, first went to Jordan, Israel, and then Malta. Now, the reason for this trip was it was 2 years late, because it was 50 years since I was on an archaeological dig in Israel.
Wow.
And I tried to get a world get-together of all the people that had been on the dig.
Yeah.
Because it went over a couple of years, this dig.
50 years ago.
I was only 22. So I tried to get all these people together, right, who worked on the dig, but it didn't work out because the Israelis didn't really want us. Israel is a different place today to what it was in the 60s. I just decided, well, I'll just go backpacking there. So I flew into Jordan and Amman.
And by yourself?
Yeah.
Does that scare you? Does it worry you?
I'm never scared to travel.
Fearless.
I just go with an open heart, an open mind, and it's an adventure.
Do other people talk to you and do they kind of express their concerns for you? Do they go, oh, Heather, you've got to be careful?
Oh, my sister. Well, one backpacking trip, I went around the world for 6 months.
Yeah.
My sister was beside herself. She's always much more scared than I am.
So this last trip, how long ago was it?
That was 2016.
Have you ever had any kind of scary moments?
No, not that I can think of.
Never?
No.
Give me those tips. You talked about what would your tips be?
This last, when I went to around the Middle East, I did book all my hotel, youth hostel accommodation before I left, except I couldn't book Aqaba because the owner of that hotel didn't speak English, but that was okay. So I had it all planned before I left. So that's one thing. Lonely Planet is a great resource as far as accommodation goes. And I generally stay in either backpackers or youth hostels because they more often than not have a place where you can cook so you don't have to eat out. There's the company, there's always company. And even at my age, I'm just treated like one of them. You know, we can share our experiences, you know, been here, you know, don't go to that restaurant or whatever. So, of course, I have a traveller's vest, which I wear next to my skin. I have all my valuables in there.
All your documentation.
Yes. I'm not scared. I'm in Israel, that's right. Oh, especially in Jordan. Everybody, the whole of that trip, I have never been photographed so much in all my life.
Why did they want your photo?
I don't know. I was checking myself, have I got everything? My blonde hair maybe, and being so an elderly person with a backpack, you know, on her own is quite unusual.
Well, that's the reason you're sitting here and I'm kind of talking to you because I want to find out more about you and your journey and your travels. Do you speak many languages?
No, I pick up a few, like when I was backpacking through Eastern Europe, where I stayed, I used to get the girl on reception to write out my shopping list. So, what's the Lithuanian for milk?
You talk about staying in these hostels, and a lot of them would be a lot younger than you. Are there any of similar age, Heather? Do you ever spot any that are very similar in spirit to you and doing the same kind of trek?
No, the closest was when I was in Warsaw, that's right, and there was an Aussie guy, he was in his late 50s, he was a nurse in Tasmania, but no, I don't.
You wouldn't see too many others of your vintage.
But it doesn't matter because all the young people just accept me.
Yeah. What about your physical fitness, though? I imagine you walk a lot. Do you exercise every day? Like, do you walk every day back here in Australia?
No.
No?
No, I just, my physical exercise is generally making compost. And I go to the tip and get double grind mulch. You know, I have to load that up myself into my car.
Yeah.
And then unloaded. I always walk to the shops if I need anything.
What would be one of the most remote locations you've ever visited?
Well, I was on one of the Hawaiian Islands. There was a group of us and we walked down this mountain to this waterfall. I don't know if many people go there. And then, well, I walked up again and I got to the back up to the road. I turned around and this young Japanese boy said to me, "My grandmother couldn't do that."
When you go on these journeys, do you take a lot of photos? Do you write, keep a record in a diary?
Yes.
How do you remember them?
Yes, I keep a diary. But also what I do when I come home, I make a scrapbook of my trip and I put all my photographs in that. But also I go to all the tourist office, get their pamphlets and cut them up and put them in the scrapbooks.
As a memento.
As a memento. And I've got all tickets, all my tickets and everything like that. except unfortunately, 2006, I went for 6 months around the world. Digital cameras had just come in. So on the way, I had 2 months in India, 2 months in Eastern Europe, and 2 months in America. But before I got to India, I bought a digital camera, which was wonderful. So I went all through India for 2 months. Then I went up to Sikkim. So I climbed this mountain to this Buddhist monastery, and then I went to take this photo, and it said full.
Your memory card was full.
Yeah. So I thought, well, I'm going back to Delhi, and then I'm going to England to see my brother. And everybody in India said, don't get them put into videos because these Indians will lose half your photos. So I thought, oh, I'll just delete 10 photos. Like, that's all I need to get. And when I get to London, my nephews and nieces, who's big in the IT, they can develop them. Well, I started deleting. Next thing I know, I don't know how I did it. They'd all gone.
No. You'll have to go back.
So I cried all the way down this mountain, and at the end I said, well, that means I just have to go back to India.
Yeah. But if we live in a society where, you know, I know you don't have maybe you do have a smart device, but people are taking photos all the time. But people, and you hear this often, people don't live in the moment where you put your phone away and take everything in with your eyes and your senses, the smell, your sounds, the things that are happening around you. Do you have, and I imagine this is a tough question, but do you have a favourite location? Like, is there one place out of all your travels, Heather, that you go, you know, this place that I went to in such and such a time, this was one of the most memorable places I've ever been to?
The world is changing all the time. And, of course, I've lived in Asia for many years. Like, I would never go back to Kuala Lumpur today. The whole nation has completely changed to when I lived there.
In what way?
The Malays people used to be very, very sedate and gentle. They used to wear their sarong kabayas. And now, since 69, and I was living in Kuala Lumpur then went through the riots. I had my second child in the middle of the riots. The Malays took over. A lot of them were Muslims when we lived there, but it wasn't so pronounced as it is today. Their whole psyche has changed. Mm. It's a different world. I lived in Singapore. What was the shoreline in the 70s is now 2 kilometres inland because they've done all this reclamation. It's all different. So it's a very difficult question.
What about a place that you'd like to return to?
Well, I'll have to go back to India, won't I?
Exactly. Take those photos again.
Yes. I haven't seen all the world, so unless it's family, I think I prefer to go to somewhere new.
Can I touch on a point you brought up earlier? So you were 22 years of age and you were on an archaeological dig.
Yeah.
Where was that and what were you looking for?
That was in Israel. It was Masada. Masada is a big rock in the desert, and that was the last stand of the Jewish against the Romans in 70 AD. And so that's where Israelis, these Jews, went to Masada and they lived there for 5 years. And then the Romans surrounded Masada, and the Jews knew that they were coming, they were getting better, and they would just eventually take over. So they committed suicide. And when the Romans actually got there, they couldn't believe it, that all the Jews were dead.
Yeah. What kind of numbers are we talking about?
There wasn't all that many I can't think exactly how many there were. Also, that's where Herod dug up Herod's palace as well. I think it's classified as the largest archaeological dig in history.
Mm. And were you working in that field?
No.
No, it was just, how did you end up there?
Well, the dig was partly funded by the Observer newspaper in London. We never bought newspapers, but if there was travelling in the tube, we picked this up, Observer. There was an ad in the Observer to apply, and we thought, oh, great. So we all applied. applied, the three of us applied, because they wanted it to be an international dig, and we are the only Australians. Naturally, we
now
got...
Include you.
Yeah.
I think you mentioned briefly on the phone, Heather, you've got a link to some early Queensland pioneers.
My ancestors arrived in 1833 in Sydney, and the Scarings, that was Daniel Bud Scaring, and they came, he came and his family came up to Brisbane. They had the first grocery store on the corner of Queen and Edward Street. Another ancestor, who John Slack, he was a convict. He put in Slack's Track, which is now Logan Road in Brisbane, and the suburb now, of course, Slack's Creek, that was named after him. So there was a convict who did good.
Turned his life around.
Yes.
Yeah. You're a remarkable individual, and I'm sure you hear that all the time. Again, when you stay in these hostels overseas and you meet all these young travellers, and they must look at you and go, wow. I mean, do they say, look, I'd love to be, you know, well, they're travelling at that age. They must say, I'd love to still be doing this when I'm your age.
I walked into LA Backpackers, and I put my pack down, got a coffee, went outside, and this girl came racing up to me, and she said, "Ah, we were talking about, we saw you come here, we were talking about you." And she said, "What's your name?" And I said, "Heather." And she said, "I hereby name that star Heather."
I really appreciate you coming around and sharing some of your stories. Are you working on another trip? Have you got something planned for next
year? Not at the moment, but I'll go to South America, and I need to go to China and Iceland.
When you say you need, you've got a desire.
Yeah.
It's, again, just to see, broaden your horizons.
That's right. See what adventures I can have.
You've got to write a book.
Some people have said that.
Thank you, Heather. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, thank you.
Heather Mills was my guest today. What an inspirational lady. So if you've been at home, you've been contemplating travel, maybe it's been fear, worrying, anxiety, there's some inspiration for you. If you enjoyed that podcast, please feel free to share it about with family and friends on social media channels. Tell them about it and rate the podcast. All right, there are two fresh podcasts on our In Noosa Magazine website every week, every Monday and Thursday. I hope you keep coming back to sample, enjoy and download. InNoosaMagazine.com.au/conversations.